Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It has been exactly 20 days since Black Friday. I mean, that's the unofficial kickoff to the holiday season, right? Black Friday. Businesses opened their doors and they saw excited shoppers seeking bargains on Christmas gifts. Christmas music has filled the air since even before that. Parades have been marched, and here we are tonight. As of today, it is 7 days before Christmas. You guys have your shopping done? I hope so, because it's about to get crazy. But no doubt, you know, you've done the Christmas things, right? You've probably watched some Christmas movies. You've probably decorated your tree already. You've probably filled your minds of things that make Christmas Christmas, right? The visions of sugar plums are dancing through your head, and they're doing a waltz with 8 tiny reindeer and a jolly old fat man. But honestly, tonight isn't about any of that. Tonight, in the last week before Christmas, you have chosen, for whatever reason, in the cold outside darkness of night, you have chosen to make your way to the church to observe Christmas, the real Christmas. You have come here to prepare yourself for a celebration of Jesus' incarnation. This is why tonight you will hear a story that you can't watch on Netflix. Tonight you've heard a story that you can't really find in the Hallmark Channel. And in fact, it won't be on the radio, you won't see it in the mall, and it won't be found in any of the general requirements for Christmas merriment. It's David. It's the reading we just heard moments ago. And 7.5 years after David was anointed the king of Israel, he defeated the Jebusites. That made Jerusalem his new capital. That was the final conquest he had to accomplish before he could establish Jerusalem as this city that we know as this beacon of hope for all the nation of Israel. It's where the temple would eventually be built. And that's exactly what David wants to do. He wants to build a temple. But how do you go about changing a idolatry-based, pagan God-worshipping city into a city that is befitting of the God of Israel? How do you do it? Well, it's really easy. You have to smash everything that is not the one true God. Just break it all to pieces, throw it all out to the curb, and bring in the Ark of the Covenant. That's what David does. He destroys everything, and he brings the Lord in. Now, when the king lived in his house, he noticed, I'm sitting in this palace of cedar. This is wonderful. But there's kind of an injustice going on here, because God's sitting there in that old tent that we've been carrying around for the last who knows how long. It's an injustice, to be sure. David living in the lap of luxury, the Lord, well, he's still camping. That's not good, David thought. And by this point in David's kinghood, he's really used to building things for God. I mean, that's kind of David's modus operandi, right? He builds the people's trust, and they kind of laud him as this wonderful king for Israel. He built an army that then conquered all of Israel's enemies. He built this kingdom. He built the city. He built the palace he's living in. And then he composed music too. David is a builder. He knows how to get things done. David is the king that God anointed. But we remember from our text that David attributes it all to the Lord. He knows that it is not without God's help that he has been able to do everything. And so it should come to us as no surprise that when David notices this thing, like, I'm in this nice palace, God's in a tent, and God's been building me up so much, and he's given me all these wonderful things, and he goes, now's my chance. Now's my chance to finally do something for God. But God says no. A way to squash all my hopes and dreams, God. God tells him no, but it isn't because he's being mean. God tells him no, but it's not because God is content in his tent. It's not because he just doesn't want to move yet. He tells him no because David has the wrong idea. God, you will not, or God says to David, you will not build me a house because it's not your job. Your job is to receive the house that I have built for you. Sorry, David. You can't always get what you want. And so a lot of times when we're told no, we get really upset about it. Well, God, I've been praying to you for this forever. Well, God, this is something that I really want. Well, God, why can't you give me the desires of my heart? And it's all good and pious, and sometimes it's not even for a selfish reason. Sometimes it's for a great reason that we want things. And God tells us no anyway. And it's to do exactly what he's doing with David. To humble him. To teach him that God needs to establish the house. So David doesn't go and tell God he's wrong and build a temple anyway. David doesn't go and complain to the Lord and say how unfair it is that he doesn't get to build the temple. Instead, what we find David doing is just taking those words when God told him no and why he told him no, and then David says almost exactly the same thing verbatim to God. He goes into that old tent that the Israelites have been carrying around forever, and he says, "And now, O Lord, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken." David takes God's word and he tells it back to God. Because that's what faith is. In fact, that's what worship is. The greatest worship that we ever have of God is to take his word, to internalize it, to believe it, and then to spit it back out at him. Because it means that we believe what he's told us. It means that we recognize who he is and we recognize who we are underneath him. He's the God who establishes the house of David. Now you might wonder, how does any of this have to do with preparing for Christmas? It's because today you are David. Honestly, we all have these very pious ideas about how best to serve God. We all have very good ideas about how to offer true worship, how to repay God for all of the wonderful things he's done for us. Because the truth is that you wouldn't be here unless you knew that God was your Savior. And so we come up with all these wonderful ideas about what makes Christmas, Christmas. Well, I have to go to every midweek service because then Christmas will be Christmas. Well, I have to make sure to make it to the Christmas Eve service because that's what makes Christmas Christmas. I have to make sure to set up my Christmas tree the weekend after Thanksgiving because that's what makes Christmas Christmas. And I have to listen to Christmas music the whole season and I have to watch all these Christmas movies and I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do this other thing. And all of these things that we think that we need to do to make Christmas Christmas, they all make us lose sight of the actual truth. God establishes the house. I mean, God establishes Christmas. Christmas is not Christmas because of anything that we do. It's Christmas because that's when Jesus came to the world. Christmas is Christmas because Jesus came born of the Virgin Mary. And that's it. God establishes the house. And so it's not based on sleigh bells or fairy tales or Hallmark movies or Charles Dickens. It's established by God. And not only does he establish this event where Jesus comes into the world, but then he establishes you. You are the house of David. You are those who are gathered around God's word in order to speak it back to him. If you want to be prepared for Christmas, the only thing you need to prepare to do is hear a story you've already heard before. Because we know the story. We know that Jesus came born of the Virgin. In fact, we confess it in our creed every week. We know that Jesus came to do miracles and to live a perfect life and to lay down that life on a cross. We know all of the stories. But that's what worship is. It's when we know the stories and we're still content to hear them anyway. It's when we know the stories and we're still content to speak them back to the Lord. And that is exactly what we do. Because God made a promise to David. The promise is that there would be a king, David's ultimate successor, and it would be Jesus. His promise is that Jesus would establish this kingdom forever. His promise is that God as Father sends a perfect Son. His promise is that Jesus would take the iniquity of the world, that he would suffer under the rod of man. And Jesus does. Beaten, bloodied, crucified, he accomplishes forgiveness for you. He establishes the throne of David forever. My friends, only 7 days. If you've got shopping to do, really get it done, because it's coming quick. If you've got Christmas movies to watch, go ahead and watch them, because we're coming down to the wire. Listen to your Christmas music. Do all of the wonderful things that you normally do at Christmas. I'm not trying to badmouth those things. I want you to have that Christmas spirit. But more important than any of that is I want you to hear what God has said concerning his Son. Even if it's the 1,000th time, hear the message of Jesus this year. Value that message. Believe that word. And speak it back. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.